This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. My name is Celeste Quinn. We're happy to have you with us this afternoon. Well, it is 2:47 Central Time. It is the first Monday of the month, so it is the day and the time that we talk about great books for young readers here on the program. Today, a very special guest joins us. He's an ambassador and the author of many wonderful books for children. His name is John Sheska. His books include The Stinky Cheese Man and Other Fairly Stupid Tales, and the Time Warp Trio series. His latest books include Smash Crash and Cowboy and Octopus. Last month, he became the very first national ambassador for young people's literature. John Sheska lives in Brooklyn with his wife, Jerry Hansen. They have two children, Casey and Jake, and a cat named Potvin. He's been passionate about books and reading. That's John, not the cat, by the way. And reading and writing since his mother first read Green Eggs and Ham to him when he was a boy. Mr. Ambassador, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Why, thank you. I like the formal introduction, too. Very nice.
Well, tell us about the moment when your mom started reading Dr. Seuss to you. Do you remember it?
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of in the crazy swirl that was our family, because I grew up with five brothers, so we had a real wild house, just a mess of guys wrestling around, but my mom always read to us. I mean, she would read us Green Eggs and Ham, and Go Dog Go, and Caps for Sale, and Mike Mulligan and the Steam Shovel, and I just remember those things being so entertaining.
And
so much more fun than the books we were actually trying to read in school.
Yeah, we were supposed to read. Like See, Spot,
Yeah,
Run.
That's exactly what we were reading, the Dick
Jane,
and Jane stuff.
Yeah, me too. Well, how important is it for adults to read great books aloud with children, books that children want to be engaged with?
I think that's the absolute crucial piece of getting kids interested in reading. It supplies that motivation for why they would even want to undertake this incredibly difficult task. Because I taught elementary school for 10 years, second graders for quite a while in particular, when they were just taking off as independent readers. And it just reminded me of, like, what a daunting task that is to decode letters, put them into words, sound the things out, and make them ideas. It just seems impossible when you actually describe it. And if it's not, you know, if ultimately after you do all that work, you have some lame story, I think it's just like, why did I even bother to do all that?
Yeah. But on the other hand, though, if you get the right book, it's a wonder. It's a miracle. It's great adventure.
Yeah, and I think that's what all of us as readers really just see that those kids who are not readers are missing. We just remember that moment when you connect with this book that just speaks to you, and you just thought, like, oh, man, this author wrote this just for me. I'm the one who understands this. Mm. And I'm convinced there are all of those books out there for just about every kid, because I've been in publishing now, in children's publishing, for 20 years or so. So I know people in all these different, I don't know, different publishing houses, and I just see great stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
So I kind of see it as my mission to connect those kids with that book that'll really just strike the fire in them.
Yeah. So how do we do that? If you get the right book into the right hands, you're on your way.
Yeah. Well, a big piece of that is to just, for starters, I recommend that people, teachers and parents in particular, and librarians, expand their notion of what reading is to include all this great stuff that's out there, nonfiction these days, graphic novels, online reading, audio books. Those are all entries into reading. And I think in the past we've kind of, I don't know, just kind of poo-pooed that stuff and insisted kids read just literary fiction, which doesn't fit a lot of kids.
Yeah. Well, my nephew was not a happy reader in school, and I got him a subscription to Sports Illustrated for Kids.
Yeah.
And his father called me, my brother, and said, thank you.
That's exactly where this stuff comes from, actually. I started a nonprofit literacy initiative for boys called Guys Read about 6 or 7 years ago, just because when I was teaching, I noticed boys were just falling out of reading in exactly that way. And part of that's what I learned was, like, boys feel like the reading is just randomly assigned to them. They just have to read stuff that other people like. And the boys tend to want to read for information. They want some knowledge. Mm. They want some purpose. But, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I thought that kind of applies to everybody. I mean, almost any reader wants some choice and wants to be able to make some of their own choices.
Yeah. One of your books that's recently been reissued by Viking is Math Curse. I think I would still love this book. I hated math as a kid. I had such a hard time with it.
Yeah.
What happens in Math Curse, and what could that have turned me around?
I think it could have saved you. I wish we could have got you that sooner. Yeah, and actually that book came out of my experience. I taught 8th grade algebra for a couple years, and I was always trying to write a funny math book because I love math and science and just always have, which scared my editor no end. She just thought, and she was a math phobe, basically. But it finally dawned on me, and I thought, oh, yeah, those awful word problems. Like, what if everything the kid ran into during a day became a math problem? And then that's the basic premise of the book. She wakes up one day after her teacher, Mrs. Fibonacci, says, you can think of everything as a math problem, and everything turns into a math problem, from the number of kids on the bus to the slices of pizza at lunch. And it's just like, I just had fun messing around with problems.
Yeah. Well, what inspires you to take on a particular topic, say math or fairy tales?
They're all kind of stuff I'm interested in. Same with the Time Warp Trio. I've always been a big fan of reading history, and just thought that would be fun to combine my third graders with all kinds of ancient history, just imagining what would happen if three kind of random guys could go anywhere in time. It was kind of just an excuse to let me play around throughout history. Or the same with Science Verse, which was kind of a follow-up to Math Curse. It came me about, so I thought, yeah, I'll just write some science poems.
Well, you collaborate with Lane Smith.
Yeah.
Tell us about how the two of you work together on your books and, you know, how you, like, what does Mrs. Fibonacci look like?
Well, it's kind of unusual in that Lane and I get to work together. Most authors and illustrators never meet each other. But I met Lane back in, like, 1988 or so when my wife and the woman who eventually became Lane's wife worked together on a magazine in New York. And they got us together because I was trying to sell True Story of the Three Little Pigs and getting rejected by everybody. Lane was out trying to break into kids' books but didn't really have a manuscript. We just kind of got rejected together for quite a while. And then somebody at Penguin Books finally said, oh, that's kind of funny. Well, let's try that. And it was the woman who's our editor still, Regina Hayes.
Mm.
And it's really nice because I get to write the story and then just hand it off to Lane to see what he comes up with. And his wife, Molly Leach, is a big component of our collaboration, too, because she's the book designer of a lot of our books.
Mm.
And that's why they look the way they do.
Yeah. You know, the public libraries here in Champaign-Urbana are well-loved and well-used, very well-used by people of all ages. Is this something that's true across the country, first of all? And what makes for a successful children's department?
That's a real challenge. And actually, then that's not true across the country. There's libraries that are really struggling. Some of them just struggling to get funding. I mean, I'm involved with my library here in Brooklyn. The main branch of the Brooklyn Public Library is just a stroll from my house. But for years, they just took the brunt of any kind of financial downturn in the city. It's the first thing that gets cut. And what that really takes, too, is like first the funding, but then a group of librarians that are willing to really like let things be a little crazy.
Yeah.
Because bringing kids into the library is not a quiet undertaking. But I love that I've heard from libraries across the country who just, in fact, a lot of big Guys Read supporters There's a library in Minneapolis, the Hennepin County Library, which just has created all these guys' read programs. And they love having kids come in and just being a little noisier than the, maybe the average library patron.
Yeah. We've got to wrap up, unfortunately. Maybe we'll have you back on the program. That would be terrific.
No, thanks for spreading the word out there for the ambassador.
Later in your tenure. Last question, what are you reading?
I just finished The Road by Cormac McCarthy, which was pretty grim and depressing.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm a fan of that post-apocalyptic fiction. I think earlier this year I read The Book of Dave by Will Self, which is like the British version of post-apocalyptic fiction, which is just spectacular. And then just everything else I can get my hands on in the young adult field and in kids' books.
Yeah. There, we've got to leave it. Thanks so much for talking with us this
afternoon. Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Celeste.
You're very welcome. John Cheska is the first National Ambassador for Young People's Literature in the United States. He is also the author of many wonderful books for children, including The Stinky Cheese Man and Other Fairly Stupid Tales and the Time Warp Trio series. His latest books include Smash Crash and Cowboy and Octopus.